Hello?
Hi.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
How about some make-believe about musical instruments and hose?
What are you talking about?
And I'll show you what's going to fit in that hole. It's in my pocket here.
Are you a fucking freak?
Well, certainly. Did you talk with the people you love last night about the things that you wonder about?
Call back with your number showing up.
There are no such things as real monsters.
You know what, motherfucker? If I could see you, I'd show you a motherfucking monster.
What a special friend you are.
You fucking piece of shit.
Yes.
You're listening to Books, Beer, and Bullshit. The podcast is so bad our mothers have disowned us.
They did too.
I'm your host, Frank, and with me as always is my co-host,
Jeff.
How you doing, Jeff?
Oh, I'm just fantabulous.
All right, sounds great. Are you ready to start the first official episode of Books, Beer, and Bullshit?
Yes, episode one, volume one.
Episode one. We're going to start this week by talking about a book by one of our favorite authors together we both like is Brian Keene. And Brian Keene just came out with a book of short stories called The Cage. Jeff, why don't you tell us a little bit about the author, Brian Keene?
All right. Brian Keene is the author of over 25 books, including Darkness on the Edge of Town, Urban Gothic, Castaways, Kill Whitey, Dark Hollow, Dead Sea, Ghoul, and The Rising. He also writes comics books such as The Last Zombie, Doom Patrol, and Dead of Night. His works have been translated into German, Spanish, Polish, Italian, French, and Taiwanese. Several of his novels and stories have been optioned for film, one of which, The Ties That Bind, premiered on DVD in 2009 as a critically acclaimed independent short. Keene's work has been praised in such diverse places as the New York Times, the History Channel, the Howard Stern Show, CNN.com, Publishers Weekly, Fangoria Magazine, and Rumorg Magazine. Keene lives in central Pennsylvania. God bless you. You can communicate with him online at www.briankeene.com and Facebook and Twitter at all the usual places you would find such a person.
He is just a social media
whore.
Whore. He's a whore.
He's a whore.
Now, this book is one of his whoring projects, and as we said, it is a collection of four short stories by him.
And these aren't actual new short stories. These were out of print, special edition, in other anthology collections.
And I guess what maybe we should talk about a little bit first is a little bit of the recent history from Brian Keene that's led up to this book.
Yeah, that'd be good. Let the listeners know exactly what we're dealing with here.
Okay, first of all, Keene was being published on Leisure Books, and they were in the 90s pretty much the go-to horror book. If you wrote horror, you wanted to be on Leisure. With the dawn of e-books, Leisure didn't keep up, and they really ran into very heavy financial problems. They stopped paying royalties to authors, and obviously this don't sit well with authors, and this happened to Keene. So he got out of Leisure. He got the rights turned back over to him for all his work that he had with Leisure, and he signed up with Deadite Press to have all that stuff republished.
So Deadite isn't his imprint. It's a
Deadite,
separate was around imprint
that's
before
right.
him. Okay.
Deadite's a subsidiary of Eraserhead Press. Eraserhead publishes mostly Bizarro books, almost exclusively Bizarro books, and a sub company of that is Deadite Press, which they call themselves a cult horror.
Well, he would fit in there, I guess.
That's, yeah, absolutely. It fits in great, and it's a great new relationship for both sides. They get a top name in Keene, and Keene gets a publisher on the up and up and who understands the new world of publishing. So that's where it takes us. He has several of his back books have been republished, and he's also been putting out not a new novel, but he has come out with a couple of these short story collections. The third one put out by Deadite.
I notice you still don't find this imprint everywhere at your local B&N.
You don't see it there. You're not going to find them on the shelves of your Barnes & Noble.
Nope.
They're still sort of small.
Exclusively. More of an e-book if you wanted an e-book for them or
and
send your mail.
And when they
send
publish,
your check in.
When they publish, they publish paperback first, and it takes a couple months for the e-book version to release. And, yeah, your best bet is to find online,
yeah,
Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
I'm sure it's all that trade paperback.
it's all trade paperback.
That's right. So it's
another
like
way
$13 for a $14 for a paperback.
His books generally run, they've been like $7.99, $8.99. But
oh, that's not. That's like a regular,
not terrible.
Regular old paperback.
Yeah, it's not too terrible with him.
Yeah, like the mass market ones.
But,
that's
you
good.
Know, some of their books are up there, $12.99.
That's the way of the world these days.
It is, it is.
That'll
but
be a whole
always,
separate
always,
episode.
You can always hold out for the ebook version and pay $4 or $5.
The way it should be.
They are very reasonably priced ebooks. Let's talk a little bit about The Cage. It is 4 short stories. These stories are the title, The Cage. There's Marriage Causes Cancer, Lest Ye Become, and Waiting for Darkness. Now, I guess the best way to tackle this would be to ask you, of the 4 stories, what was your least favorite?
Well, my least favorite probably was the title track, The Cage.
The Cage you liked the least?
Yes, because as I previously stated, I'm not a big H.P. Lovecraft guy. I'm not into that opening up interdimensional portages. But however, I will say that it was a good story. I just didn't like where it went in the end. It kept me going through the whole story. I enjoyed the tenseness and the flop sweat of it all.
Right.
But I just didn't like the ending.
Well, you sort of hit on something that I noticed with the story. Is to me, it had 2 sort of notes to it. The main meat of the story was not a supernatural element. It was more like a splatterpunk.
Right.
It was more like just people getting killed and am I next and blood and gore. And there was only hints of a supernatural element until you really reached the very end of the story. And I guess you knew a supernatural element was coming.
Oh, yeah. You knew it was coming when they started talking about the... All of a sudden, I start hearing all the TVs going.
There were odd noises. Yeah.
You were able to make the connection really quick.
Right.
There.
Now, I don't know about you, but with Brian Keene, he sort of has like a King-esque thread to all his stories with a world he calls the Labyrinth, and it basically populated by these supernatural god creatures. And I kept asking myself, is this going to be a Labyrinth story? Are they going to bring up one of these Labyrinth monsters? And to be honest with you, in the end, I don't know if really it had anything to do with the Labyrinth or not.
Well, as long as we didn't see David Bowie in a cod piece at the end, we're doing good. You know, I'm not ragging on Mr. Keene. I just don't like that ending. It's kind of like...
It like went somewhere else, it seems like, in the end.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really good story. Like, I enjoyed the whole aspect of the people and the interaction of the people working in the electronics store. You know, like anybody who worked like a crappy job could relate to that. But I'm just not a big fan of that. We opened the extra dimensional portage.
Yeah, it was a very everyday situation.
Good story week ending. That's all I'm saying.
It didn't sit right with me that the crux of the world bringing in the super demons sat in the back of a Best Buy. It wasn't.
You know, it'd be cool as if he did what Keene does best and went on and killed everybody in the entire world, but he kind of left you hanging on that one.
Well, I mean, it was Keene, and by page 2, I think 2 people were dead, and page 6, I think about 4 people were dead. Like, he was just killing them.
Oh, good body count. Don't get me wrong.
The Cage was not his best stuff.
No, it was a solid, well-written story. I just have a problem with the ending.
The
I'm
ending
sorry.
Is your problem.
The ending's my problem.
I guess I have to cliche it there.
Cliched ending. Sorry.
All right, so after The Cage, what else did you like?
What was my second worst favorite? I actually enjoyed the other 3. I'll say Waiting for Darkness, just because it was small, but it was an awesome story for being so small. We'll just stick that into number 3
slot. The number
slot,
3 slot.
Just because the other ones must have took more time to do.
Right, and its brevity, it fell short.
Yeah, no. Not that it fell short, but the brevity of it.
It doesn't warrant more. Now, that was the cool thing you said. It is short, and it's short for a reason.
Right, yeah, it was printed on a T-shirt.
The whole thing was sort of a gimmick.
And you know what? For writing a story that's going to fit on a T-shirt, that was excellent. You know, we might have to move us up to number 1 just from the gimmick.
Wow.
Now.
Oh, no, you're flip-flopping.
I'm wishy-washy.
But it was very cool, and it was like a flash fiction piece, and it was keen in one page.
Yeah, it was pretty totally awesome. I remember Tales of the Crypt, maybe, did like a little, you know, one of their little stories on such a thing, like the guy comes home and buries his wife in the sand, and then, like, you know, like she's just like waiting for the tide to come in.
Oh, yeah, the tide rolls in.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, I liked the way that ended. It was like, you know, he didn't tell you
yeah.
that this is it, but just the way he described it, like the thunder of the waves kept rolling at them. One other thing I just wanted to talk about with the Waiting for Darkness was, as I was reading the story, I was in the middle of it, and Keen actually posted on a website a YouTube video of him reading this very story, and I hadn't gotten to that part of the book yet, and it was maybe a day or two later I got to this story. It's the last story in the book, and I decided, oh, I said, he just put that up. I'm going to do. I cracked open my book. I opened up YouTube. I was like, I'm going to read along with Keen. This is, should be pretty cool.
It's story time.
It's story time. I got already hit the play button, and then in like a minute and a half he was done. I'm like, what the hell happened? The video cut off. And what I didn't realize is that one page, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I was looking for the second page too.
But yeah, that was it, one page. And yeah, it's pretty quality for a one page piece of work.
It was like a haiku of horror.
I think I might have to go on eBay and see if I can find that shirt.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Okay, so after Waiting for Darkness, what else did you like?
Well, I have to say that I like the other two stories about equally. So I'm going to give you the honor.
Picking placing the next one?
Placing the second, the first runner-up.
Okay, the first runner-up for me would have to be Marriage Causes Cancer, because that one would have come in at number four for me. I like that one actually the least.
Really? Why is that?
That ending to me just felt wrong. Like, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, no, it completely didn't make sense. It was kind of, at least it was like more crazier than interdimensional demons.
I guess, but it didn't explain anything to me. Like, I could buy a demon in the back of a Best Buy looking for some iPods, but this guy cuts his family off and they're there and they're not. It was very, very weird for me.
Yeah, well, I guess it was kind of was a downer story all the way straight through.
It was a downer story. It was a very, like...
But, I don't know, I thought it was pretty good, you know, where... end up killing your whole family and everything.
Yeah.
Comes back to haunt you.
Was he hallucinating?
You're growing your wife as a tumor.
Yeah. I thought it was
kind of freaky.
Well, you know, you ranked it up there either one or two and left it up to me. And I said,
no, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with how...
We'll stick it at two. That's fair.
I would say that's...
But if it were my ranking, I would have put Marriage Causes Cancer at the bottom and The Cage at second. So we flip-flop.
Okay, so, all right. So
either way, that leaves us with the last story, Lest Ye Become. That was absolutely the best story of the lot. It was an alien.
It was awesome. Body
it
Snatchers.
Was, what was that Roddy Piper from They Live?
Yes, it was definitely, it was They Live.
It was Keen's version of They Live.
I'm here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
That's exactly what. No sunglasses required, though, in this one.
No.
This kid was, he just saw them what they are. They were slug aliens.
Yes, they were all got all like, nothing was upsetting them.
No.
And so we must shoot them.
And they were slugs and they were salt. So that's basically the tall and short of it. Four quick stories, most of them from his earlier publishing career, and rehashed here. They were available and out of print for a long time.
Well, the one that we both chose there as our number one story, that was originally in another anthology, was there, was it not?
Yes, it was. It was actually like his first published work, and it wound up in a couple of anthologies. It wound up in an Invasion of the Body Snatchers anthology, and it was also published in one of his very early anthologies. Well, so, yeah, I mean, it was special to him because it was his first published work, and in the Body Snatchers anthology, he was published with some big names, so it was very important to him, and it was very quality for early Keen work.
No, it was. It was a quality story. You know, there was no shocks or surprises. It was just a quality story.
It was very straightforward monster horror.
Yeah, it was good.
It was very good. So
I give it an A+.
Now, the overall collection, how would you rate it?
Oh, would I reread this? No, I would not. No, once through it was good, and I'm not going to say I want that, you know, 2 hours of my life back, because, you know, it was good. Overall, it was good. It was worthy of a read.
Right.
But, you know, like, I wouldn't kick the door down for it.
So to the guy who hasn't read Brian Keen before.
No, I wouldn't start with this.
You're not going to start here.
No, I wouldn't recommend you starting here.
It's good for a keen connoisseur who
right.
can, who could take the who understands his work and just looks at this for if, a snippet.
I think if you want to start with Keen, just start with Urban Gothic.
Yeah, I haven't read that.
No, see, there's a problem. I would. That's if someone was going to say to me, Jeff, which Brian Keen book should I read first?
Jeff, which Brian Keen book should I read first?
I would recommend you read Urban Gothic.
Urban Gothic. I think if you were going to ask me that question.
Frank, what Brian Keen book should I read first, being I have never read anything by the man before?
I would absolutely point you to Darkness at the Edge of Town. His,
very good.
Yeah.
Very good. But I would still go with Urban Gothic.
You'd still go Urban Gothic.
Yeah, I just felt that that was... was an action-packed story. Like, there was a lot of more action than eerie setting and...
Right, more of a thriller.
Yeah, more of a thriller. Horror thriller. Yeah, that it was definitely kept your attention.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't read all of Keen's books by any stretch of the imagination, but his full-length novels, pretty much anyone you pick up, it seems like you're not going to go wrong. But the short stories, he's not...
Well, in all fairness to him, too, I mean, these were all written not because Brian Keen wanted to write them. He wrote them to get them into anthologies. So it's not like
he
sat down one day and said, oh, this is the best idea I ever had. I'm going to write it out.
Yeah, no, these were definitely struggling writer type stories.
Yeah. But it just goes to show he was a quality author because they're still good stories, even though it's not like probably something he was burning to write.
Yeah. No, they aren't ugly amateur writer stories. They're definitely still,
still quality.
This is a guy who had the chops.
Yeah.
You're just looking at it on this end of the spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what it is, too? We've read a lot of his work, so it's to us it's kind of a little bit of a letdown.
To us, it's a letdown, and I wouldn't ever suggest that anybody start this
there.
Book
no.
for Mr. Keen. So, overall, we thought maybe a 3-star book. I think I rated it 2 stars on Goodreads, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I would rate it 2.5 out of 5.
Yeah, because even for his short story collections, the other... Jack's Magic Beans and Tequila Sunrise, I thought were both better collections.
Yeah, they're both better collections.
Than
but
The Cage.
Also, with those, I don't think any of them were really written.
None of them were written specifically. None of them are new stories.
They're
all just rehashes of stuff that's been out of print.
I would definitely, Jack's Magic Beans was a cooler, definitely a cooler.
That was a very good story. I love Tequila Sunrise.
Book.
They're both very good. They're a lot better than The Cage.
You know, 2.5 stars. I wouldn't throw my nook across the room and say... You know, I want to go rip my eyes out, but it wasn't nothing.
It was not
special.
Garbage, but it was definitely not your best Keen.
The Cage.
So, book review is done. You know what that means.
Ooh, is it time?
It's time to speak Austrian.
Lock, lock. Kugeln aus Messing.
Drittes Bein.
Kugeln aus Messing.
Drittes Bein.
Kugeln aus Messing.
Drittes Bein. And why? Why, Jeff, are we speaking Austrian today?
Because it's time for our beer that you wouldn't drink review.
Yes! It's the beer leg of Books, Beer, Bullshit. And this week, we've picked out a very special brew. Coming off the wildly popular review of the Westbrook Smoky and Sour.
Smoky Sour, bacony.
Smoky Sour debacle.
The come party in your mouth.
The beer circus in our mouth. We've decided to really just try the worst possible beer we could find on the shelf at the local liquor store.
Yes, this is going to be the theme of our beer section.
Yes.
It's going to be beer we drink so you don't have to.
That's absolutely right. All right, Jeff, so since you are such a wonderful reader of beer labels, why don't you give us the rundown on the beer we're going to try this week?
This is the Salzburg Stiegel Radler Lemon. Yes, it's a beer with lemon soda. It's a malt beverage speciality.
Wow, that's just perfect reading of that beer label.
It's 1.9 fluid ounces. Ooh, that's very sexy. 0.5 liter. It's a half a liter.
A half a liter. Since this is a European beverage, we'll talk in liters.
Liters. Lederhosen. Okay, it's made by the Stiegel Brewery in Austria. You can find their website at www.stiegel.at. That's STIEGL.AT.
Beautiful. And it's a very yellow label. It looks like a tablecloth with some lemons hanging off of it.
Looks definitely very lemony.
Lemon's not something you usually think of when you think Austria.
No, you definitely don't think of malt beverage speciality from Austria.
I was thinking we were going to have a horse nuts beer from Austria, but we got a lemon soda beer.
If anybody knows where we can get like an eel blood beer, We'd love to try that.
Absolutely. We're going to take suggestions on screwy bearded try on the podcast.
All right. They say that where you see the red steps is where you find the best beer. They're a privately owned brewery that combines tradition and innovation, forming a concept for success that makes Stiegl the strongest beer brand in Austria. Did you know that, Frank?
I did not know. This was like just the best beer ever. This is like the Budweiser of Austria.
Since 1998.
Get out of here.
Since 1998, they've been Austria's leading private brewery.
My God, that's just under two decades.
It's consistently formed the unique, eye-catching brand logo, which is some red steps.
That's absolutely not why we bought this bottle of beer.
No, but you could be found anywhere in circulars, TV ads, promos, and on glasses. You could even get your own special Stiegl pint glass.
Oh, so, you know, beer goggles, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. They've been around since like the 1400s.
I see. An old recipe, an old brewery.
Yeah, an old brewery that now probably makes lemon malt liquor. What do you think?
I think we're going to find out how Austrians drink.
Yes. Guten Tag, I guess.
Guten Tag. Here's to the first pull of the Radler. The Stiegl Radler beer with lemon soda. Wow. That tastes like cough medicine.
Yes, it does. You know what? Once again, the label was right.
It's right.
Oh my God, that aftertaste. Oh.
These are rather large bottles, too. These are not your standard six-pack bottle.
Oh man, this is like a headache in a jar. You just know if you got wasted on this, you would have a
This is like a Third Reich 40 ounce.
Oh my God.
Did you burp it back up yet?
No.
You have to burp it back up. It's amazing.
I bet it tastes even better the second time around.
Let's go.
It's like first you get that refreshing lemonade taste with malt beverage behind it. It tastes nothing like beer.
It tastes like somebody dropped a Mountain Dew in my Zima.
You got your Zima in my Mountain Dew.
You got your Mountain Dew in my Zima.
But yeah, it's not a combination. That's delicious.
It's not. This is. Oh my God! I think we need to drink the eel beer.
The eel beer would be better. No more malt beverages. Even if it is in a fancy ass.
It's like. It's not terrible. Like it's palatable, but.
It's not really palatable.
It doesn't work.
No, it's that. Yeah, it's totally.
It's like bad lemon soda.
It's like if you put. Yeah, it's like if you put like lemonade into a Zima.
Yeah.
If you took. You know what it is? It's like if you took one of those Snapple to go things and you dumped the lemonade powder into a Zima.
Yeah,
and shook it up.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, it's absolutely like them little powder go drinks.
Yeah, like those little single serving you put in the half liter of Poland Spring.
That totally nails it.
Has some lemons.
It's lemony.
It's nothing like what you would expect.
No, no. There's no real beer taste here.
Well, once again, we drink it, so you don't have to.
Yeah, don't drink the Salzburg Stiegl Radler beer with lemon soda malt beverage specialty.
Unless you have Kugeln aus Messing. That's just not good.
I can't tell if my eyes are tearing from the beer or from laughing.
No, actually, I think I preferred the Westbrook beer of last episode.
I don't know if I'd go that far. Like this, I'll keep drinking, but I don't think I could have got through a whole bottle of that Westbrook.
No, and that was a big 1 liter bottle.
I could fight through this one, but
I don't know if I could make it through this whole thing. What's the alcohol on this anyway?
Let's see what the alcohol by volume is. Do they care about that stuff in Europe?
I don't know. Sometimes they put it on there. Let's see. World class.
Ladies and gentlemen, music interlude.
Oh, dude, no shit. Look at the back. Look
oh,
at the
back.
UPC code.
Oh, here's the back. Oh, it's stairs.
Steps. It's the red steps, baby.
The red steps.
It carries right over onto the back. They say you can find it anywhere, even in their barcode.
It's like, what was that?
Do you notice on top?
Yes,
it's 50% Stiegl Goldbrow premium lager and 50% lemon soda.
You know, I don't know if you've tried the Leinenkugel summer beer.
Yeah, I've had like the summer shandy.
That has
a lemony taste.
It has a lemony taste, but this is just. I mean, it really does taste like 50% lemon soda and 50% Goldbrow.
But the Goldbrow must be like weak as shit because it doesn't taste like beer at all.
No, there's no beer. There's not really even an alcoholic taste to it. I do see here that if you live in California, you're going to be fortunate enough to get a cash refund.
We're done with, wow, that was...
The Stiegel
Radler beer with lemon soda malt beverage specialty.
Yeah, that's... it tastes worse coming up. It really does. You got to burp this shit up.
No, good thing we had Italian for dinner, right?
Good thing we each have our own microphones. This thing's going to stink. Would you drink that at a tailgate?
No. No, I will never drink this
again. Not in the summer. Like, maybe if it was 90 degrees out and just humid out the wazoo and you got some swamp ass, but, you know. What if it wasn't a soda? What if it was just, like, lemon juice? Do you think in the ghetto that they're going, instead of the old English, they let me go for a Stiegler Radler, yo.
give me a 40 of the Stiegel.
So, I mean, I don't know. What else can you say about the Stiegler Radler? It's just... I can't even call this a chick beer.
No.
Do you think... Old men would drink this? No. Old men like PBRs, man.
Yeah, PBRs, Schlitz.
Yeah, it's not a chick beer. It's not an old man beer. It ain't a ghetto beer. It ain't a frat party beer.
You know who I could see maybe drinking this?
The Austrians.
All right, so to finish up our beer review of the podcast, any final words on this great pile of nonsense?
Yeah, don't drink the Stiegel.
Don't drink the Stiegel. Radler lemon soda with malt liquor speciality.
Don't drink the Stiegler. It's spoiled.
I can't speak for their regular beer.
Yeah.
Their regular beer.
Sure.
But this is definitely not good.
Yeah, the lemon malt beverage is not where you want to go.
As Arnold said, being his Austrian, that's not good oil.
That's not good oil, and that's not good beer.
All right, dude. So anyway, do you got your tailgate gear all ready to go for Motley Crue and Kiss?
Yes, I absolutely do. We got our tickets, don't we?
We do. We got them in the mail the other day.
And what a lineup, man. Motley Crue and Kiss. Does it get any better than that?
Well, not to me.
You got Kiss. It's just Kiss.
It's Kiss. It's the greatest show on earth.
For my money at the time, Kiss and Poison was a pretty huge lineup for me. You got the best of the 70s, the best of the 80s. Now you're throwing Motley Crue. I mean, that tops it.
Yeah. You know, it would be cool. Like, if you got worked Poison into there, too.
You're starting to do a real festival, like.
Yeah, I mean, but you could do three bands. I mean, you give each one an hour.
Could you top, Kiss, you can't throw them out of the equation. Can you stick somebody better than Motley Crue with Kiss?
Yeah, I'm sure you could. Maybe not. Maybe not. You know what? They're both spectacles.
They are. They're two different kinds of spectacles, but they're both spectacles.
You know, they're good time live music, you know?
It's party 80s style.
It totally will rock out.
Well, we have seen Kiss with Aerosmith.
Yeah, that was a
surprisingly
something.
It was terrible.
Oh, Kiss was pretty good.
I mean, Kiss, they go on first, you put on a Kiss show, which is the greatest show on earth, and then Aerosmith comes out with Steven Tyler and his bare feet. I mean, it's just a downshift.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even stay for Aerosmith, as I recall.
No, we were pretty much burnt after Kiss, and it was just an insult that anybody would go on after Kiss.
It was retarded.
Yeah, how do you go on after that show?
I mean, obviously, when we were there, there were more Aerosmith fans than Kiss fans.
Yeah, but I still, you know, the Aerosmith fans saw the Kiss concert. They got to be like, ugh. It's just Steven Tyler's feet and some scarves. Where's the explosions?
Yeah, where's the blood, the showmanship?
The fire, the blood, the pyrotechnics, and then Steven Tyler's feet and some scarves.
Only thing I have to say about Aerosmith is, like, pink. It's like red, but not quite.
It is, and that concert was red, but not quite. So then we saw Kiss with Poison, and that at least went off the right way. Poison went on first,
yeah,
did their thing. You know, Poison's Poison, you love them or you hate them. They did what they had to do, and they got off the stage and let Kiss on.
Yeah, you know what was a great one was Ted Nugent, Skid Row, and Kiss.
Skid Not.
Well, of course, Skid Not.
Skid Not because Baca wasn't there.
No, it's Skid Row without Sebastian Baca.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just not Skid Row.
I mean, Nuge is Nuge.
Oh, the Nuge is always just a Nuge. He's just a Motor City Madman, and that's it. You're going to get the shooting flaming arrows and, you know, just good rock and roll.
So, I mean, while we're on the subject of Ted Nugent, he almost got his ass thrown in jail, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He said some bad stuff, huh?
I don't think he said bad stuff. I think it's just...
He said, to be specific, and I quote, "If Barack Obama becomes the president in November, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year."
For what? Is he going to have a heart attack in November?
Exactly.
He's going to knock over some liquor stores?
Well, apparently somebody got upset with him saying that. Felt maybe he was intimating that he would cause some sort of harm to the president.
Well, that's a stretch.
It absolutely is, but, you know, we're in campaign trail and whatnot.
Oh, cash in on the Motor City Madman.
Hey, I'm not saying the people who want him strung up on a cross are right, because that's just as bad as saying what he's saying, but you're right, there was nothing there.
No, it was just another media frenzy over nonsense.
Well, he said these quotes at the NRA convention. Do you think that fueled something?
Sure it did.
Absolutely. If he said it on the front steps of his house, would it have gotten that much attention?
Probably not, because no one really pays attention.
But he's the Nuge, man.
Yeah, he's a Nuge, surviving Nugent. I mean, listen, like, I agree with a lot of what the man says, and even what he said there, what's wrong? What's the problem?
Yeah, well, obviously it's going to cut across political lines, that type of opinion, but I think if you're really a reasonable person, you're going to have to say to yourself, he didn't really say anything terrible. He certainly didn't say anything that warranted any kind of investigation.
Yeah, you know, they go and then they talk to him, and it's all just to make some noise for the election coming up.
You know, I guess some people got uptight, and I guess the Secret Service had to do something for their own sake to just shut everybody up and move on with their lives.
Well, I mean, be the first to say here, if Barack Obama is the president in November, remember?
Yes, sir.
I want to throw up in my pants.
Wow. Scary thought.
I'm looking for the Secret Service.
Well, yeah. You didn't threaten the president. You have to threaten the president directly.
Okay. I'm threatening the president directly.
Directly. Okay.
So you're going to be... I am threatening you, Mr. Obama.
With vomit in your pants.
With vomit in my pants. No, that's just nonsense. I mean...
You got to have... It really wasn't a direct threat. He's the Nuge, and you got to allow.
You got to talk.
You
know, here's what it comes down to, right? He's a rock star. And if, let's just say, Green Day came out and said, like, if Obama isn't president, I'll be dead or in jail, would that make any play?
No, absolutely not.
Exactly, because...
Yeah, either way, and that's an excellent point. If a pro-Obama... celebrity said something to that effect supporting him,
there'd be no
there would be nothing, because you could use the quote the same way with a supporter, and it changes
the whole thing completely
entirely. So that's an excellent point.
But the Nuge also got in trouble for shooting some bears illegally up in Alaska.
In Alaska, not on his own property?
No, it was up in Alaska. He like wounded one the day before.
Uh-huh.
And then he like shot another one.
Uh-huh.
And you're only allowed to shoot one per season in Alaska.
I see.
And
dead or alive?
Dead or alive.
Once you hit a bear,
it's your bear. And I don't know if he didn't know it or not. You would think, as a responsible outdoorsman that he is, that you would know better, but he was taping for his TV show.
Uh-huh.
So who the hell knows?
He needed a kill.
Yeah, you need the kill shot. So, I mean, who knows what happened there in all reality?
I guess fines, right?
Oh, yeah, it's like whatever.
You know what? If he's never allowed to hunt in Alaska again, no big deal.
Well, he got like a 1-year probationary thing in Alaska.
Right. The poor guy's got to go back onto his own piece of property and hunt for things.
Right. I mean, you know what? That probably wouldn't even made the news, but like I said, he was taping for a show and with the other nonsense.
Right.
Now we're going to drag out every crime and misdemeanor you ever committed in your life.
Right. The Secret Service dismissed their investigation, but the media has
we'll keep dragging crap up until something sticks to you.
Yeah. Well, the news just got to put his loincloth on, I think, and play himself.
Go out on tour for a while.
With Kiss?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And not as good as Kiss and Motley Crue.
No, probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah, it'd still be a good show.
Now, let me ask you this. We've been harping on bands going on after Kiss. Do you think Crue could go on after Kiss?
They shouldn't,
but could they?
No. I mean, I wouldn't walk out like I did for Aerosmith, because at least it's another spectacle band of my youth.
Sure.
So, like, Aerosmith was their heydays was before...
Right.
They were big when I was younger. I still really didn't care.
You just weren't that into them.
Just wasn't that into them, is right. But no, Kiss should never be an opening act for anybody, anywhere.
No. As far as a show goes, a visual spectacle, ain't nobody doing it better than Kiss. Well, it's not the greatest thing, but
well, that's like my experience precisely. Like you were always a big fan of Kiss as long as I've known you,
right?
And I probably gave you some pretty good ranking over being such a giant Kissomaniac.
Yeah. Sure.
And then you dragged me to the Nassau Coliseum to see him live with Trickster,
and Faster Pussycat.
Faster Pussycat. Yes, right then and there, after that live.
You were a convert.
I was a convert.
And hardcore, and they weren't even wearing makeup.
No. And it just
those guys know how to put on a show.
Yep.
They don't even need the makeup.
There's no explosion too big.
There really isn't.
So anyway, Frank.
Yeah.
What do you tell to an Indian woman with two goats?
Nothing you don't.
Nothing. She's been told twice already.
Yes. Do Indian women have dowries?
I don't know. It's an arranged marriage. I'm just saying. Well, and I still didn't trim my mustache. So this steel globe is still ticking on.
Yeah, but you've been all over that shit tonight.
Yeah, I got up on it. It's going to be a hot day.
It's going to be a hot day today.
If nothing else, we crack ourselves up.
The fucking Eskimo in Alaska listening to us is like, the fuck are they talking about? Fuck you, Eskimo.
Eskimo.
I didn't curse enough in this episode.
No, there was very few cocksuckers.
We got a little reprimanded.
Yeah, mom text. Don't embarrass me. Yeah, Ma, because like our 8 listeners are going to be calling you up on the phone.
Yeah, and 7 of them are your aunts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, motherfucker, cocksucker, and ass to mouth. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. And extra. So, the Indian women and their dowries.
And their dowries. I mean, we say we're going to bullshit about it. We might as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's get into it.
Do dowries still exist?
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, if arranged marriages still exist, isn't that part of it?
I mean, do they still base some of them on, like, you know, dowries and land ownage and...
Well, here's a topic.
Big trucks of land. Osh has big trucks of land.
But it's a swamp.
Never mind that.
Oh, shit.
I mean, what do they base an arranged marriage on now?
I don't know. Is an arranged marriage, is that like prostitution, like for life, like sexual slavery? Here's some goats, now I'm taking your daughter?
I mean, can you... Yeah, it still happens.
Yeah, it still definitely
but
happens.
What's the basis? Like, you're... programming prowess with C++? What do you base it on?
I think you're trying to join families together, right? Isn't that like the point of it? All seriousness?
Within the Indian culture?
Yeah, like, you know, like my daughter is lighter skinned than your son. So like if you have like great tracts of land and camels, I will allow her to marry your filthy dark skinned son. And then
we're breeding for color?
Yes, they definitely do breed for color. It's like guppies.
I was not aware of that.
It's like...
I did not know that Indian people breed for color.
Dude, don't you know anything?
Apparently not.
No, totally. Like, the lighter skinned you are in Indian culture, like the hotter you are.
I was not aware of that.
Check it out. You got the internet right there.
All
right.
Well, you know, maybe we'll,
cast systems,
maybe we'll have to have a guest on and clear this up.
Yes, we'll have to have our friend Osh on and clear up the skin tone and dowries.
Well, Osh is not going to breed. He's going to breed for color, I guess, but he's going to get like gray.
Yeah. Well, that's the ultimate goal.
You
is
want
to
grays? I'm going to breed aliens.
You go home, you have a separate human room with these big pods in there. Slime dripping from the ceiling. What if your goat runs dry? You have no goat's milk.
I don't really know that my Indian food has been laced with goat milk.
Goat cheese?
Goat cheese.
Don't they like goats? Isn't a lot of Indian cuisine with goat?
Could be.
Curry goat and like curry goat foot and...
Curry is wonderful stuff, sir.
I'm not a big fan.
I love curry.
Nah, I just, I'm not down with it.
Every now and again, curried fish, curried goat, curried dowries. It's a trunk full of curry.
Just a cart pulled behind my camel with my curry.
Huge trucks of curry.
Great curry growing forest.
I don't much like the curry.
My parents' neighbors have goats, and they come over in free range on their lawn.
Well, it's free lawn mowing service, right?
Yeah, but they get into the
did they name the goat
the flowers? One and two.
Oh, boy. That beer is still sitting down there, isn't it?
It is. It's in the cockles.
Where are the cockles exactly?
Down on your left. There's nowhere left.
Down and to the left.
It's right above the codpiece, but to the left of the sternum.
Howard sternum. Hey, Jeff.
I just always wanted to do this.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
Would you like to see a picture of Steven Tyler's foot?
No. Yeah, I heard it's like nasty. Wow.
Now oh, look at that.
That's.
How does that happen?
I don't know, dude. It looks like a. You know what that looks like?
It looks like the foot of an 8-year-old man.
Looks like Medusa.
His middle toe there is making a right turn.
Is that to the right? No, that might be to the left.
Well, it's to the left.
Because real men hang to the right.
Yeah, they do. It's just over top.
Imagine the person who painted those nails.
Now, I've heard that he has had several surgeries to correct that.
It looks like he had no surgeries to correct it.
Well, in this particular picture, but he's since had it corrected.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like
at 75, he decides, I just can't take this anymore?
Well, this is supposedly a result of his stage acrobatics over the years.
Oh, yeah, I bet you that's exactly what caused it. It's not a genetic defect or anything.
No. I wonder if his nutsack does the same thing. The right nut just takes a swift turn over top of the left.
Strangulated nutsack.
Have we bullshitted enough in this episode?
Probably. Let's call it a podcast.
I was going to call it a podcast. So we have, today, we've covered Stephen King's Suck My Left Nut.
So in this episode, to sum it all up, we've covered Brian Keene's The Cage. We have drunken the lemon malt.
We have drunken the lemon malt beverage.
And we have a bullshitted.
We have bullshitted. Across the sonosphere of bullshit.
Bullshitting was kind of weak, first to admit.
All right. Well, I mean, that's episode one, right?
Yeah, that's episode. This is episode one in the books.
It's in the books. It's official.
All right. Let's not draw out the inevitable.
What we are going to say is thanks for listening to episode one. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as we haven't. Listen, next time we're going to come back to you. We're going to be reviewing another new book. It's called Genital Grinder by Ryan Harding. Are you excited?
I am excited.
I love the sound. General grinding?
It's all that and some more. It's your real good splatterpunk stuff. Yes.
So we hope you're going to come back to listen to another screwed up book report from us. While you're waiting, why don't you check us out on Facebook? You can find us there, facebook.com/books, beers, and bullshit podcast. All one word. You can also listen to the podcast. Like you don't know this because you are listening to this at booksbeerbullshit.podbean.com. And really, we don't have Twitter yet. There's no tweeting going on yet.
No, I don't think I shall ever be tweeting. What kind of beer are we going to review next time there?
Wow. You know, I don't think we got one lined up yet, but we're definitely going to check out another local liquor store and just pick out the most screwed up thing there is to find.
Just remember, we read it and drink it, so you don't have to.
That's right. Take it easy, folks.
See ya!
Take 'em one by one. She knows when she's dressed to kill. She'll pull.